Hi, this is Ken Savacco, the pastor here at Rogers Assembly, and I just want to thank you for joining our audio podcast today. I hope that this message makes you feel connected, that it allows you to grow in your faith, and it helps you understand that God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Love is a battlefield.
Ready or not?
Be honest. How many of you shed a little tear during that little video? Just a little. I know I showed it to Connie in the office this week, and Connie was pouring tears everywhere. I was like, I don't know if that's a good video or a bad video. Well, today, I'll be honest. She's always redoing what I do. We won't even talk about the dishes or the laundry. I'm excited about today and the possibilities that it could bring. I'm also very fearful about the possibilities that it could bring too. So we want to start kind of a couple's dialogue. Can we have a healthy conversation in church? I think that we can. So it's not very often that I give my wife a microphone and let her loose. So I'm a little bit scared to death of what's going to happen. I'm also a little bit scared to death because I know that, and I told the church here on Wednesday night, I said, I know that we have a church who loves me. Right? You guys love me. I know that. I feel that. You guys root for me. You guys like me. You guys love me. But I know that you love my wife more.
You got to tell them what you said last night, too.
Well, every time, I forget what I said last night. But anytime we have like a little bit of a spat, maybe like last week in service. I know all the women gravitate towards my wife and defend my wife and come to my wife's side, and all the guys in here leave me hanging out to dry. Like, brother, you're on your own. So I hate to be you tonight. That I get that kind of look because guys are kind of like that a little bit. We're like, you know. So I guess I feel like I'm climbing into a cage match. I feel like Peter McNeely did before he fought Mike Tyson. Okay, he's all confident, and he's like, oh, I'm going to be the heavyweight champ. And it lasted like 30 seconds before he was knocked out. It was bad news. And so I kind of feel like, I don't know, I'm a little bit scared. So in preparation for this moment, now, your pastor, I might be slow, but I'm not dumb. Okay, so I prepped this moment, okay, so you just need to stand here and entertain, and I'll be right back, okay? I'll be right back.
After my Valentine's gift, I'm a little nervous now. I have no idea what he's doing. Did you guys have a good week? What am I supposed to talk about?
That's right. Now on Thursday, Jane told me, she said, I'm getting you something for Valentine's Day. And I said, well, I don't.
I made something. I didn't go out and buy anything. I made
Yeah, and
something.
I said, I really don't have anything. And she said, well, can't you just make me a card and say some nice, lovely things on it? And I said, can I just go buy you something?
All of our Valentine's Day gifts from him have always been something very special. Like, our first Valentine's together, he made me a 14-foot roll of paper with all kinds of love things and poems and things he loved about me. And I unrolled it, and all the dorm girls were like, oh, I want to date somebody just like him. So I'm now spoiled.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. You landed the best fish in the sea. But anyway, these are for you for today. So they are not roses, they are carnations, because those are her favorite. Those are her favorite.
Thank you, baby.
Okay, we won't kiss. Come on, guys, there has to be some mystery left, okay? There has to be some mystery. So I'm going to have a seat. So anyway, we wanted to do, if you're visiting with us, this is not normal Sunday for us. So we're doing something a little bit different because we want to dive into those topics about love and relationships and what that looks like. And I wanted my wife up here so that we could get maybe a more honest assessment of what's happening and all of that stuff. So anyway, so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be diving in. We're calling our series, Love is a Battlefield. So I mentioned that way back in December. I think I got some crowd applause or mystique. How many of you guys know that love can be a battlefield at times? It is sometimes hard to navigate. And so we're going to be walking through different stages of life. So today we are entitling kind of what we're talking about. I've entitled it Preparing for Boot Camp. So this is like really when you join the military and you just sign up, you really have no idea what you're going to get, right? I mean, you saw the propaganda, right? You saw the Army commercials on TV. But I highly doubt that your experience in real life is like what the 30-second commercial is on TV. And so this is kind of what this is about. It's kind of like what happens before we get married. And I'll be honest, I'm very, I have a lot of notes, but my notes are just kind of all over the place because I want this to be organic conversation between Jane and me. Which is very contrary to how I prepare sermons. I prepare sermons. I pretty much know exactly what I'm going to say because I'm prone to sticking my foot in my mouth. When I do not know what to say, my foot usually goes in there. How many of you guys are like that too? That will admit it openly. Just a few of us. Okay. You guys, you don't have to raise your hands. You can wink because I know there's people that don't want to admit that. But today I want this to be a little bit more organic than prepared. And so we don't know where we're going. In 30 minutes from now, I don't know what topic we're going to be on. This is scary to me, church. You guys do not know. I've like lost sleep. I've stressed over this. I'm like, I'm up in front of people talking, and I do not know, maybe for the first time in my life, what I want to say. But I have a Holy Spirit that is coaxing me into those directions. So, all right, so let's begin. Let's begin. And we're going to talk about a little bit about what life was like before we met each other, right? So now if you could think back, we've been married for almost 24 years, and we dated 2 years before that. Okay, year and a half. And then with 6 months of me just pursuing you, which we weren't really dating.
I'll give you that.
She says potato, I say potato. It doesn't matter. I've known you for about 26 years. And so Jane, maybe you can start us out what life was like searching through all those other losers. Before you found, you know, sometimes you have to go through some zeros before you find the hero. Okay, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So maybe Jane, I don't know, you could talk about, let's share our story. Let's share our story.
All right, so the first night I met Ken, a friend of our mutual,
fireworks.
Mutual friend.
Right? No.
A mutual friend brought him over. My house was the house to hang out after youth group. Everybody always came to my house. We'd watch movies till midnight and eat popcorn and drink sodas. My friend called, and he's like, hey, can I bring a college friend that's home from school? And I said, I don't care. Sure, the more the merrier. My mom loved having everybody at our house because she knew what we were doing. So in comes Ken in his bib overalls. And but mind you,
I did have overalls.
No, he had a shirt on, too.
I had clothes on underneath, if that's what you're asking. Yes.
But mind you, now, the first time we met, he comes to my house, and we go down in the basement where we all hung out, and I had just recently broke off an engagement. I was engaged to be married before I met Ken, And I had the invitations, the napkins, the whole shebang ready. And I called the wedding off within like 2 months before the wedding. And I had written off all men. And I said it was me and God. That was it. I was not going to look for a guy. I was trusting that God was going to do that for me. And I was working on myself, my own relationship. But because we spent all that money, Mom made me use the napkins when the youth group came over. So the first time Ken meets me, we're using a napkin that says Jane and so-and-so and the date and all this stuff. And
yeah, we're using your wedding napkins.
Yeah.
So.
But
how's that for a story? That was weird. It's still a little bit weird.
In fact, I forgot all about it,
but now I have these painful memories resurfacing, so.
So anyways.
Yeah.
That whole summer, we became really good friends. There was a group of us, and I'm disappointed Jason's not here because I wanted him to be my witness. But
I paid him to not be here.
The whole summer, he would call me, and we'd go play basketball, or we'd go to Nelson's Ledge. I mean, we were together all the time the whole summer. His brother and I had a girlfriend of mine, and then our mutual friend that introduced us. But we were always gallivanting around doing stuff together. Well, it was Bedford celebration up in Cleveland. I had family, and there was this huge fireworks display.
I'm still kind of denying this story.
You be quiet. This is my story. You gave me the mic. So
this is her perspective.
We had I was the ringleader. I always planned all the events. So I'm like, hey guys, my family's all getting together for a big picnic. They have this huge carnival and this massive display of fireworks. You got to come. Let's go. Let's all go and hang out. And he went and called everybody and told them to stay home and to cancel on my plans. And he was the only one that showed up.
So,
and if Jason was here, he'd testify to it.
Some elements of that may or may not be true. I'm pleading the fifth on most of that.
He didn't tell them to stay home. He suggested I encouraged, that they find something
else
to do.
Well, a few people could not make it. And then when the number was dwindling a little bit, I may have encouraged the rest not to come.
Anyway.
Hey, my plan worked.
Yes.
It worked.
We had a great time. It was wonderful.
Listen, when you have to have a plan. You can't go into these things like, I don't know. I don't know. Let's just say I was not confident in my game to just wing it. I'm like, I've got to have strategy.
Anyway,
she's hard to get.
So he pays for the whole date, and I'm still like, heck no, I'm not dating anybody.
She also, at the time, she was working at Arby's.
And he would sneak in and look at the...
I did that once.
Once?
Once where I went in to eat at Arby's.
It was Columbiana.
And her manager had laid out the schedule she was working on the counter, which I think is like a Free Information Act. You know, if it's in public view, then why can't I look at the working schedule and then coordinate when she was working to when I would show up at Arby's? What's wrong with that, people? There's nothing wrong with that. And so the question came was like, boy, you eat at Arby's a lot. You know, every time she works, she sees me. What are the odds of that? I'm like, well, yeah, I guess, you know, all of that stuff. So, you know, you have to position yourselves a little bit in that to just make yourself available. So
anyways, the summer ended, and it was time for him to go back to CBC. And I remember we were up at Poland New Life after some celebration thing, because he was going to Poland New Life at the time. And I flat out told him, I'm not interested in a relationship. I don't want nothing to do with, it's just me and God. And I explained to him where I was at. And he understood, I think. But he went away to college, and he continued to call me every day. Our phone, but that was before unlimited calling. Oh, my parents were livid. I had to start paying.
I don't think it was every day because I could not afford every day.
It was pretty close.
Yeah, that was back when you had to dial.
If it wasn't you, then it was me.
You had to dial one, you know, before you actually called your number, and then you got the long distance charge. What?
Anyways,
but mine was always double because it came through like the colleges. Everything's more expensive at college. So
that was before computers, so we wrote letters back and forth. He would write me a letter, and then I wrote him a letter, and it was back and forth. And I still have, and I forgot them at home. I'll have to bring them next week. I still have
every
one of the
letters.
No, they
don't want to see any letters. We can skip that part.
But within a month, by the end of September, I was head over heels in love with this man. And I knew that I was done. Just because of our conversation, we had built such a strong friendship and such a strong relationship that I was lost without him being here with me, you know, since he had gone back to school. I knew I made a big mistake by letting him go. Thank God he didn't run.
Well, I did go halfway across the country to Missouri.
So in October...
It wasn't far enough. She caught me.
In October, his brother and I and my one girlfriend, the three of us took a road trip and we went out to see him. And that was when he asked me if we could start dating and be boyfriend and girlfriend. And it's been love ever since.
Yeah. It.
But it took him forever to decide that he wanted to marry me.
Well, yeah, the pursuit took me so long, I was winded.
You had to work for it.
I definitely had to work overtime. So those are fond memories. That's pretty much how we met. The cool thing about that story is... is we were able to really develop friendship before real dating scenarios.
We had a lot of communication because we were using letters and writing back and forth.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk because we weren't together in the same town, so we didn't have that physical issue that we had to deal with because there was hundreds of miles between
us.
Yeah,
so she wasn't blinded by all this eye candy, right? So we were able to really
kind of... And your bib overalls and chick magnet hat, right?
So we were kind of able to... Yeah, we were able to build relationships on things that move past physical. Because so much of the world that we live in is all physical. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the things that really matter most... I mean, communication is one of those things that most couples struggle with. And it's one of those barriers and breakdowns. If you have good communication in your relationships, you'll have good relationships. If you have poor communication, you'll have poor relationships. And there's just something that goes hand in hand with communication. And I don't mean like communication like you're ordering a Big Mac at McDonald's. You know, it's got to be more, you know, and it grows to be that. It grows to be more intimate. It grows to where you open up. And you get to know people for who they are and in a non-committal way. Because you're not rushing the process by pursuing physical and then trying to catch up with communication and some of the other building blocks that relationships take. So if you build communication and you build trust and you slowly build intimacy over time, then the other stuff just gravitates and works naturally. And I think that that's pretty normal. I don't think anyone has objections to any of that, right? If you do, we'll just talk afterwards. So I did want to kind of start out today with, because before we ever really got together, we were both single. I was single. You were just single engaged.
Yes.
And then single again. So we were single. And I wanted to speak, I know we're in February and Valentine's Day just happened, and not everybody's in a relationship. I understand that. Not everybody is married, or not everybody's dating. And so I wanted to take a little bit of time and talk today about singleness a little bit. Because singleness is, first of all, it's not to be frowned upon, okay? It's not like singleness is subservient to, you know, being in a relationship. And we live in a world that tells us, you know, that you've got to be in a relationship all the time. But singleness is valuable in and of itself. Before anyone was ever in a relationship or before anyone was ever dating or married, we were single. We were single. And singleness is okay. You know, at the time, I didn't feel it was okay. You know, when everyone's going out on Valentine's dates and I'm in the gym playing basketball, you know, with the guys, it doesn't feel okay. It feels like something's missing. But really, singleness has its own strengths and weaknesses. And in the Bible, you know, God created singleness before he created marriage. Adam came first. Adam was there in the garden chilling by himself, doing singleness. And God gave Adam a task. He gave Adam a job to be creative in the Garden of Eden. And Adam's job was to go around, and everything that God had created, Adam was given the task of naming things. It's like, oh, here's this thing. Okay, Adam names it a chicken. Okay, here's a dog. Adam names it a dog. Adam names it a fish. And so in Adam's singleness, he was given a creative task to name things. And I think the thing, you know, the same thing is true today in our singleness. We still have the creative power to name things in our lives. And some of us can name singleness a curse. But we can also name singleness a blessing. We have that power to choose. Is my singleness a curse or is my singleness a blessing? You know, and it's really up to us on how we pursue it. The Apostle Paul tells us, he writes, because the Apostle Paul was single, he says it's better to be single than to, you know, burn in I think the right word's burn in passion. I think that's what he says in, you'd think I would write down that verse, but I didn't. So God created us unique. God created us different, and that's something to be celebrated about. So there's nothing wrong with being single. So in fact, I don't know if we, do we want to share out of this book? Yeah. See, God created men and women different. How many of you guys know men and women are different? I mean, just not physically, all right. But mentally, too, we think different. So we feel different emotionally. And so so I use this book a lot in marriage counseling. It's called Love for a Lifetime. I recommend this to anybody. If you're newlyweds, if you're dating, if you're married, grab you a copy of this. You can find like used copies on Amazon floating around for like 10 bucks or something. And you can read it all in one setting, a couple of settings. It's only about 100 pages and it has lots of pictures, which is why I like it.
In big print.
But Dr. Dobson is, you know, the foremost leading authority on relationships and anything medically and all of that stuff. He also has another great book we'll get to later called Raising Boys, which that book is a lot thicker than this book.
It took me a lot longer to read that
so, one. Yeah, and we still don't understand that one. So, and then you could get into the Raising Girls thing, but that's like an encyclopedia volume set. I mean, that's like years of research on raising girls. But no, just for fun, how many of you guys would like to know a few differences between men and women? Okay, you want to read these? I could read them. See, I figured if you read them, then I could just make funny comments. While you read.
Men and women differ in every cell of their bodies. This is because each carries a different chromosome pattern that is the basic source of their maleness and femaleness. Number two, women have greater constitutional vitality. Perhaps because of this chromosome difference, normally women in the United States outlive men 3 or 4 years.
So now that's true, right? I mean, so far this is nothing we don't know. Yeah, men die quicker than women. Usually it's because I think men do stupid stuff, you know.
Number three, men have higher rate of basal metabolism than women. Praise God to that, because he loses a lot more weight faster than I do. How fair is that?
Oh, it's not fair, but...
Number four, the sex
I work harder. No, that's not true at all. That's not true. It sounded good at the moment.
Insert foot.
Right. Yeah, that's one of those. Yeah, where's my foot?
The sexes differ in skeletal structure. Women having a shorter head, broader face, less protruding chin, shorter legs, and longer trunk. That's opposite for us. Anyways. The first finger of a woman's hand is usually longer than the third.
Yeah, no, wait. Say that again so we can test this out, because I thought that was really interesting.
Mine's the same.
Could you repeat that? Because I don't even understand
it. It says the first finger of the woman's hand is usually longer than the third. With men, the reverse is true.
Mine's
the men's
shorter.
Teeth typically last longer than... Yeah, his teeth are better than mine. They're about the same. Anyways, we're just weird, babe. All right. Five, women
have... Did
you
guys fact check us? How did it work for you guys?
Not right.
Do some of us just have manly qualities?
I do look like my dad.
So.
Number five, women have larger stomach, kidneys, liver, and appendix, and have smaller lungs. That's why you can run longer than me.
That is. We'll read down because actually men have more endurance than women do. So men can go longer. And it has nothing to do with willpower or esteem or training or nothing. It has to do with our physical bodies. A woman's lungs are smaller than men's. So therefore, there's not as much oxygen circulating through. And so women tend to get tired faster than men. So that's in here, too.
You want me to read this because you don't want to read the next one.
What is the next? I can read the next one.
Women have three important physiological functions totally absent in men: menstruation, pregnancy, and lactation. Each of these significantly influences behavior and feelings. Amen to that.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand none of it.
Female hormonal patterns are more complex and varied than male. The glands work differently in the two sexes. For example, a woman's thyroid is larger and more active. It enlarges during menstruation and pregnancy, which makes her more prone to goiter and is associated with the smooth skin.
I don't know, but wait, let me dissect that for a second, because there's three distinct bodily functions that men do not have, and I feel like there's always one in play all the time. I feel like there's always something...
You gotta listen to the last sentence. Hold on, shh.
Well, something's coming and something's going.
Women are more responsive emotionally, laughing and crying more readily.
Exactly.
Amen to that.
I don't even know why she's crying sometimes.
He handed me my Valentine's Day gift and I started crying. He handed me batteries and I started crying.
Well, I gave her her Valentine's gift in pieces as to keep the romance alive. You know, you always got to keep a log on the fire. Okay, that's just the way it is. So, some of you, do they know what I gave you? Okay, so for Valentine's Day, I gave her it's so funny, a list of all the songs that we used to listen to when we were dating. Now, you cannot find that list on Spotify or, you know, Pandora or whatever other music things. So I had to go old school. So I searched the internet, I searched Rogers Flea Market, I searched eBay, till finally I found the cassette that had all of our songs on it. A cassette.
Everyone.
Then I realized I do not own a cassette player, okay? So I have this cassette, so I have to buy the cassette player also. And so I got the Walkman thing, but it takes batteries. So I gave her the AA batteries first. I said, this is just the first part of your Valentine's Day gift. Which, when you just give a woman batteries for Valentine's Day, I don't know. It wasn't well received, I don't think. Yeah.
I was confused.
I was like, hey, I'm going somewhere with this, so bear with me.
But mind you, okay, so you know,
wait, by the way, in relationships, it's all about this. It's not so much how you start, it's how you finish, okay? Just so you know, my Valentine's Day, it finished pretty good.
But
it started off
you,
a little, we just
had,
like us.
We had
just
had
like
a us. Long day. We had a long day. We had the wedding and all that, and he wants to go for a drive at night. It was dark out. And he takes me down to Beaver Creek.
Love knows no time.
I don't watch horror flicks, okay? But every horror flick I've ever seen a commercial of is coming to my brain because we're sitting in a dark, wooded area, and I'm locking the doors, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, can we just go home? We have our own house we can go.
It wasn't very romantic. No,
I was
not
like,
at all.
I'm seriously looking everywhere.
So
he's handing me batteries. I'm like, okay, come on, let's go. I want to go home.
Which, by the way, some things are romantic in certain stages of your life and not in other stages of your life. So, guys, know what season you're in. Just know what season you're in. That's all I'm going to say. Are we done with the list? Or
no, we're only on number 6.
Are you guys enjoying the list? I mean, I think it's kind of educational.
There's 11 and we're on 7.
If not, we got 2 more. Or
women's blood
more.
Contains more water, 20% fewer red cells. Since red cells supply oxygen to the body, she tires more easily and is more prone to faint. Her constitutional viability is therefore strictly in a long-range matter. When the working day in British factories under wartime conditions was increased from 10 to 12 hours, accidents among women increased 150%. The rate of accidents among men did not increase significantly. Number 8, men are 50% stronger than women in brute strength. Amen to that. 9, women's hearts beat rapidly, 80 versus 72 beats per minute on average. Blood pressure 10 points lower than men, not ours.
No.
varies from minute to minute, but they have less tendency to have high blood pressure. At least the comparison is to women who have not yet experienced menopause.
So women in general have lower blood pressure than men, unless you're married to me. Mm. then you have higher. So that's just the way it works. But I think that was it, wasn't it? Or is there one
There's
more?
There's 2 more. Female lung capacity is 30% less than in males. Women can withstand high temperature better than men because their metabolism slows down less. That is so wrong.
I don't even understand her internal thermometer.
I'm dying up here. I don't know what you got.
It's all over the place. Yeah, it's like when it's cold outside, she has the air conditioning on in the car. When it's hot outside, she's like, I'm cold. Now, I'd like to dissect this. Because I've been trying to figure that out. I can't. So anyway, I guess men and women are created uniquely different by God. And we have our own strengths and our own weaknesses. And so we have to learn, before we ever jump into relationship, we have to understand ourselves. And not only that, we have to love ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Well, the first command in that is that we have to love ourselves. We have to know who we are.
That's the number one thing that I wrote down next to this is that when I broke off that engagement, God woke me up really quick, kind of. I was in the marriage counseling thing, and I always tell him, you have to do the marriage counseling thing with anybody you're going to marry, because that's what saved my life. I can still remember Pastor Laycock asked me the question, where do you want to be in 10 years? And our answers were polar opposites. And I'm like, red flag, you know, and that was the beginning of the end of that relationship. And it was God waking me up to realize I didn't know what love was. I was not happy with myself. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like what I looked like. I was the typical female teenager that hated herself and looked for love in all the wrong places. And I realized after breaking that engagement off and being all alone again and I was lost and I had to find my relationship with Christ. And if it weren't for my pastor and his wife walking me through that dark time in my life, I would be fearful where I'd be at today. I'm so thankful for godly wisdom and godly counsel in my life that they taught me that I have to love myself. The God that created the moon and the stars and the earth created me. He didn't create junk. He created a beautiful creature that had a purpose. I don't know what the purpose was at that time, but I knew he had a purpose for me. He didn't create garbage. He created something that was perfect for what he needed me to do. And I had to come to the conclusion and understanding that I needed to love myself and who I was in his eyes, not my eyes, his eyes, before he could give me that perfect man that I had so longed for. He can't give me somebody to love if I'm not going to love them the proper way. If I'm going to destroy if I can't love myself like he wants me to love myself, then why would he give me that person to destroy if I don't know what the word love means and how to love the proper way? Does that make sense? He can't give me that special gift if I don't know how to care for myself.
Yeah, let me tag on to that too, because in marriages, and I say this all the time, when we're going through marriage counseling or new couples, and even if you're married, you will testify to this. Marriages are not 50-50 propositions. They are not two people. I mean, I know the Bible says, you know, the two will become one flesh, and that's true. But it's not 50% of a person joining with 50% of another person, and the other person is going to complete us. It's two people that give 100% all the time. Marriages take two people that are fully vested in the relationship 100% all the time. Now, how many people can testify to that and say that's true? So, okay, the rest of us I have to win over, okay? But it's 100%. You have to be engaged in that. Jane doesn't like it. I wouldn't like it. If I'm faithful to her 364 days a year and then one day a year I'm not, doesn't work, does it? I've never tried it, never want to try it, because I'm vested 100% in us. Let me finish my thought. So when you're single, you have to be 100% going into your marriage. You can't be operating 50%. And expect the other person to complete you. That's not how God made it. You know, God made us uniquely individual, and we need to understand that. And so I guess if I were to give advice to single people, and I say this all the time, is pursue your Creator. Know who you are. Love who you are. You know, God made you the way that you are. Now, despite, we all have hang-ups. We all have things that we don't like about ourselves. You know, and Jane alluded to that. Every teenage girl that I've ever met, they're beautiful. They look in the mirror. They could be a perfect 10, but they only see a 5. Oh, I'm average. Every guy that I know is a 5, and they look in the mirror, and they all see 10s. Okay, so we're wired different, which is true. I think I'm a 10. She tells me I'm a 10. But anyway, we have to come to grips with who we are and who God created us to be. And it's only in those moments that we'll be able to ever move on past that. And so in our singleness, you know, the Bible tells us, pursue God, you know, in the days of your youth. See, there's a reason, you know, while we're young and we're single, that is the time to pursue God. That's the time to press into God. That's the time to find out who you are. That's the time to serve God like no other. Because you're longing to be completed in another person, and it'll never happen. If you think the other person will complete you and make you whole and give you everything that you've ever dreamed of and everything that you ever needed, well then come back next week because we're going to talk about the first couple years of marriage. Okay, it doesn't happen that way. Only God can fulfill those things in your life. Only relationship with Him. And so I think it's very important that we pursue those things. So, did you want to tag on?
Somebody shared with on Facebook that I saw this week that marriage is more than just a piece of paper. You always hear that with the world. They say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. We'll just live together forever. Well, money's just paper, right? It's just paper. But you get up every morning and go to work and work really hard to get that paycheck every week, right? So why don't we work that hard for our marriage and our relationships? We have to work hard at making that time for the two of us to go away and do something without people around, or making that time to speak kind words to them, taking those extra steps. It's not just a piece of paper. This is a binding life together, right?
Yeah. Was that the correct answer? Nailed it. That's right. So while we're talking about singleness and all of that, you know, when I was looking for a prospective mate, and I don't like our dating system. I mean, I know we have so much to talk about and so little time. Our dating system is meant to conceal identity. You know, when you go out on a blind date, a first date, a second date, you're putting on your best clothes, you're doing your hair the best way, the best makeup, you're making sure that you use the salad fork at the right time and the meat fork at the right time, and you're using all of the manners that is going to try to impress.
Opening the door. Oh, wait, Mike still does that.
Opening. Our van only has an unlock on the driver's side.
That's true. I will give you that.
You can get your own door. Thank you.
I walk too fast. He can
I do have one supporter. Yeah.
I leave him 10 steps behind. There's no way he could ever get my
I don't
door.
Even know what we're talking about. Oh, dating. Dating is meant to conceal who you are. And so dating takes forever to peel back the layers to find out who people really are. So
friendship is the only way.
So, yeah, I tend to think that it's always good to build strong friendships first. Strong relationships first. Pick from the things that are important in life when you're dating. When we first met, that was her side of the story. My side was a little bit more carnal driven, I guess, because I was looking for a girlfriend. I was looking for the next phase in life. I was approaching my sophomore year of college. And so I was 19 at the time, 20. And I'm like, hey, I've got big plans, and I need someone to help carry the workload, you know? So if we're going to have three kids, I need someone to mother. No, I'm kidding. I wasn't even thinking kids. But anyway, so where do you go to find women? Nowadays, there's lots of options. But for me, I was like, you know, the best place that I could think of is in church. You know, find someone who believes the same way that I believe, but someone that's pursuing God and that's going the same direction as I'm going. So many times we fall into the trap of getting someone that's going the opposite direction. And we like their personality, or where you like the way they look, or we like the way they treat their mother or whatever. But really, they're pulling us in a completely different direction than where God's telling us to go. I think Jane said that a little bit. So you have to make sure that you're going in the right direction. And for me, it was church. So I had, the great thing about churches is there's one every block. And so when the pool dries up in one area, you know, we're just, yeah, I have a friend over here. Hey, how's the girls in your youth group looking and all that stuff? Guys, you know what? God works in mysterious ways. It's not all this. Sometimes God's working in relationships amongst the people. And so I went there And to be honest, really one of those things that attracted me to Jane probably the most is during church, she just wasn't like everybody else in the fact that she was worshiping more than everybody else. She was at the altar praying more than everybody else. She had the biggest, thickest Bible that I think that you could find, you know. It was a good thing I never got hit with that thing. So, but those were the qualities that I was really pursuing. And you could see, you know, you could pursue a lot of qualities, but pick the ones that's kind of the most important. So Jane, I know you probably want to tag on to that. Why don't you tell them about
the list?
Why don't you tell them about the list?
So when I was in grade school, I went to church camp. And the church camp director, the message, I don't remember a whole lot of the messages from way back when. But I do remember one very vividly. And they said, are you praying for your future spouse? And we're like, we're in elementary school, junior high. What? And it hit me. I was like, that person's alive today. You know, at the age I was at, you know, 10 to 15 years old, the age I was, that he was alive at that time. So
older. I was older.
By 6 months.
Oh, I'm older. But I'm your senior.
Anyways, so I start, and then he's like, but don't stop there. Don't stop praying for your spouse. Pray for your future children. Pray for your future children's spouses. And so I have done that since I was wee little. Elementary school, junior high, I've been praying for my spouse. But after I broke off that engagement, Pastor Laycock encouraged me to think about what I wanted in a future spouse, what was important to me. And I made a list. I wrote out a list all the way down to blue eyes. But there's only two things on the list that was carnal, and that was blue eyes and love of dogs.
She'd be at 50. I mean, I do love dogs.
But the rest of them were, I wanted a man that could pray with me. I wanted a man that could, you know, they were all spiritual lists, but it was important for me to think about what was important to me to have in a man. What did I need to have? What did I see that the Bible said I should be looking for in a man? And I had, and Pastor Laycock encouraged me that's the list that I need to, if the man doesn't even show that, why am I even thinking about dating the guy? If I don't see him doing these things, then why was I even thinking about going out on a date with him? Don't waste my time, because that's not who God intended for me. And so I had that list tucked away in my Bible, and he met everyone but the dog.
I buried the list, right? I've exceeded it in so many different ways. And then some. No.
But you have to be careful with the list, too.
Yeah. It's so like I think that the best thing that we could do is just come from that. You know, when we're single and we're looking for those types of relationships, you know, whether you're a teenager going through it for the first time, whether you find yourself divorced and you're on the rebound and you're looking for what's next and you know that you don't want what was first, so but you don't know quite what's second, or maybe you're in an elderly place in life, and we were talking, I'm like, you know what, hey, you just never know. I mean, I've known senior citizens to fan that flame in nursing homes and stuff and meet someone and all that kind of stuff, so you just never know, but it helps to go into it knowing what God has laid on your heart, who you are, be content with who you are, and knowing what you want. And when you know what you want, you can do that. Now, Jane created a list, and she said, Jane really wanted Dalmatians and all this stuff, and I've got nothing against Dalmatians, except for I'm deathly allergic to every single animal that has hair. So I could not live in a house that has dogs or cats or chickens or pigs or horses or anything. So we had fish and lizards
and snakes
and every reptile that you could think of we had growing up with our kids and stuff. So I did not meet every...
All but one.
I did not meet everything on her list, because on a list is what you've done is you've created a perfect human being. And there are no perfect human beings. So we're all going to fall short at some time. So you have to kind of understand what is important and what is not important. What is negotiable, what is not negotiable. For me, I wanted to marry someone of like faith. Not negotiable. In fact, I never dated a few people just because of that fact alone. You weed them out right off the bat. I never allowed myself to get romantically involved in people that never even hit my basic core things. Because I know that in the end, that pulls me in a different direction than I want to go. And so so while I'm saying, I guess the opposite end of the spectrum is I've known some people that have a list, but that list is so high, no one is ever going to fill into it. That bar is too high. I'm like, you're painting unrealistic pictures of who humans are. And sometimes I know that I get that as a pastor because pastors have a certain prestige and a certain image. You know, the old ways, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, the pastor had a mystique about him. You know, he's up here and everybody else is down here.
Now you have to pay $10 for a parking pass because you're a pastor.
Yeah, now I'm treated just like everybody else. Yeah, I don't even get free clergy parking at hospitals. I've got to pay $10 like everybody else. I'm like, what is the deal with that? So, but I guess what I'm saying is pastors are human too. So there's no way that we can possibly live up to every expectation that is on a list of someone's perfect list. And so you have to understand there are certain non-negotiable things and there are certain things that are negotiable. So the dog thing just wasn't important in light of the rest of the things. So so there's that. So take that home with you. So we really need to start bringing this down. And we didn't get to half of what we wanted to talk about. So there's so much more. Because we didn't even get to talk about sex. And I know you guys all wanted to hear about it, right?
As you see, my face is probably blistering red.
Yeah. What? I was thinking up songs. This is funny because I was thinking up songs about how songs paint sometimes the wrong idea of sex, you know, like... So I was in the office asking Connie and John and Bert, what's some songs, you know, that have wrong biblical teachings about sex, you know? And the idea came up, what's that song, Physical? Let's get physical, physical. And I'll tell you, I started singing that, and John Schooley couldn't keep his hands off me. I was like, John, come on, man, calm down. So I broke out the little squirt bottle with the water, and I'm squirting them. I'm like, calm down.
That's not
though.
Fair. He's not up here to defend himself.
He is not. He's serving downstairs, which I know. But now that story might not be totally true. I might have had a few details that were just full disclosure. My mind is getting old and all that stuff. So I guess come back next week. We'll dive into some of those things, some of those topics. But I guess in closing, what I would like to say to all of the people that are in the very first stage of relationships, the baby phase, the infant phase. Seek God first and foremost. Seek Him in the days of your youth. Seek Him while you're single. When you're single, you have more energy, you have more time to devote to the things of God than when you do when you're married. It's just fact. And so the Bible even, you know, the world tells us so much, keep looking outward, keep looking outward, keep looking outward for someone to fulfill you. Ladies, don't hate me, but every single Hallmark movie is, I'm going to find my fulfillment in, you know, some ex-actor from L.A. who comes to small town America and sweeps me off my feet. That's every Hallmark movie there is, right? But anyway, the Bible doesn't talk in terms like that. The Bible says work on yourself, work on your own identity, work on who you are as a person. The Bible is full of that. Find your identity in Christ. And so I'd say that's number one. And we never really got to it, but don't sin in your singleness. You know, it's tough sometimes being single. Don't sin in your singleness. Singleness is not the time to sow wild oats. We always think that when we're single, we have to sow wild oats and get it out of our system. Okay, but what we really do is we're not getting it out of our system. We're introducing it into our system. Okay, how many of you guys ever, you did something. I mean, every time you do something, you're bringing it into who you are as a person. And so you don't get it out of your system by doing it. You bring it into your system, if that makes sense. So don't sin in your singleness, because what seed you plant in this season always shows up in the next season. The seeds you plant today never show up today. They show up in the next season. And so when you're sitting in your single season, guess what? It shows up in your marriage season. So the best thing to do is don't sin in your singleness.
Can I share my little fact real quick?
Yeah.
You know, in weddings, they say, now you may kiss the bride. Do you know why they say that? Anybody know the history behind that? In Roman times, back in the Roman times, AD and BC both, it was believed to be considered that you should not kiss until the day the pastor says, now you may kiss the bride. It was a seal of a covenant between the two, the man and the woman. The kiss was the seal of the covenant between the two of them, and that was the final commitment to the two of them. And that it was expected at that time that they should not have kissed or had any kind of intimacy like that until that moment when they were bonded together in marriage.
Yeah.
So and it's so, a pretty strong goal to
So let me just tag on to what she said. At every wedding ceremony, we get this too. There's a phrase that's included, and that phrase is from this moment forward, or from this day forward. And so today, I know we're just scratching the surface at some of these topics. And some of us are here, you know what, Pastor, I've blown it in some areas. I've heard some good advice, but I've not taken that advice in the past. What do I do? You know what, it's not too late. Make a commitment to God from this moment forward. What do I do in my singleness? I've already kind of stepped out of some of those boundaries. You know what? From this moment forward, give it to God. You know what? I'm looking for a mate, and I'm already kind of, you know, it's already different than what I thought. You know what? From this moment forward, make it right. Amen. Can you guys stand with me, and we'll end in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you for today. Thank you for our time together. God, I thank you for the woman that you've placed in my life by my side. God, as we just dive into some really practical topics and we look at your word, God, would you just continue to shed light on us? God, continue to allow us to yield our hearts to you. Lord, I pray that in a moment of singleness, God, that we wouldn't label it a curse, but God, that we would label it a blessing. God, that we would pursue you and dive into you, dive into our identity, be confident with who we are, know what our heart's desires are and our wants and our longings. God, help us to move into life and transition through the next seasons, not with our eye focused laterally, looking for relationships to fulfill us, but God, would our eyes always be on you? And when our eyes are on you, God, you bring in the right steps, and you bring in the right people, and you bring in the right purposes. God, I pray for those today that may have taken a misstep, that may have gotten off on the wrong foot, that may have took a side road, that might have went down a totally different avenue. God, today it is not too late for us to rectify and turn around and give you our all. Lord, from this day forward, Lord, would our hearts be 100% after you, both in our relationship with you and our relationship with others. And I pray that in your precious name, amen.